text is our reading from Isaiah 35, the last few verses. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion. This is our text. Decade or two ago, it became trendy among relevant Christians to use the word journey when talking about the Christian life. No longer simply living in the world, alert for the return of Christ, believers were now journeying on the way, and probably journaling each evening about the highlights of that day's journey. It's a fine metaphor as far as it goes, but there are decidedly different sorts of journeys. Though the lore and legend of our own Route 66 offer a romantic and nostalgic portrait of the great American road trip, for most of us, a road trip is simply a necessity fueled by family responsibilities and limited finances. You're seminarians. You know all about road trips. The goal is to arrive as cheaply as possible. A road trip is merely a means to a greater end. If a road trip represents one sort of journey, a walk or a hike on a mountain path may represent its antithesis. When you hike, the hike itself is the point. It's done by choice, not obligation. On a hike, one communes with nature, snacks on granola bars and trail mix, and drinks freshly filtered water from ice-cold, pristine streams. On a road trip, you commune with dudes at the truck stop, drink excessively caffeinated beverages, and eat pork rinds and donuts coated in viscous, degraded powdered sugar. Small wonder, then, that in the church it is the winding path that illustrates the journey of the Christian life. Christians walk with their Lord along gentle trails, covered with dirt, under the spreading canopy of giant shade trees. You know, the kind that you find along the way to Emmaus. Christians follow their shepherd along paths bordered by babbling brooks. Paths are for Christians. Highways, on the other hand, are for heathens. With reckless abandon, the lost careen down the broad thoroughfares on their highway to hell. They get their kicks on Route 666. The contrast is sharp. Christians read from devotionals titled Light on the Path, not Headlights on the Highway. They walk on paths of righteousness, not on roadways of rectitude. Jesus warned us about broad ways and wide gates that lead to destruction, and told us to stay on the narrow ways with the small gates. No highways, just paths. But Isaiah gives us a highway. And it's not even a highway through the mountains or under dense shade. No, it's a highway through an arid land, depressed below sea level. Isaiah gives us a highway that doesn't fit the usual picture. But a highway it is. And I'm forced to pause and reevaluate. A highway, really? Well, why not? Why should the devil have all the good highways? Isaiah doesn't provide much detail about his highway. We don't know how many lanes it has in each direction, or whether it's concrete or merely asphalt. We don't know what maximum speed is in mind when it was designed. But it wasn't much. What we do know is that this highway is made for walking. This highway is not built for speed or even for volume. It's built for safety. It's a limited access highway. That's what makes it special. No deadly beasts here. No demons wander here. One can walk here without fear. Whatever jackals may be lurking in the ditches, lions hiding behind boulders, or snakes slithering across the sand, the highway is beast-free. And it's also fool-free and off-limits to anyone who is unclean. Which says something, of course, about the moral character of those who travel this highway. Limited access means only God's special people, the clean and the wise, get to travel here. But don't despair. You're not excluded. Though by rights you should be, of course. By rights, no one should be allowed on this highway. But God takes fools and the unclean, and He puts them on His highway. Those who don't deserve to walk there are redeemed, ransomed, and then turned loose to travel the highway. Good news indeed. Still, gaining access to God's highway is not actually our problem. We all know that this is only and always a gift that God gives and nothing else. Our problem is not getting on the highway. Our problem is growing content with merely being on the highway. Our problem is becoming enamored with the roadway itself, too consumed with the scenery around us, too caught up in the details of the journey, too fascinated with the wonders of the walk. The point of this highway is not the highway. The point of this highway is not the splendor of the sights to be seen. The point of this highway is not the journey. The point is the destination. It's a one-way thoroughfare. Everyone is moving the same direction to the same destination. The highway ends at Zion. That's the point. The destination, the highway's end, that's what it's all about. But you forget this. It happens. Though you hardly notice, you lose sight of the destination. You become engrossed in the highway. You get wrapped up more and more in the day-to-day realities of life on the highway and become so fascinated with all the interesting things of this world on either side of the highway that you begin to live and reason and choose as if this world and your Christian walk through this world were the only things. You begin to believe that life is all about the journey. And it's understandable. You live in this world. Its demands are immediate and consuming. Of course you get caught up in the here and now world of the highway and the journey. And you even begin to live as if they were the only things that mattered. Which is not to say that they don't matter. They do. I've certainly done my share of urging people to be invested in this world and to work to fulfill the tasks and responsibilities of this life lived on God's highway. But the highway is not the thing. The journey is not the thing. The thing is where the highway ends. The thing is Zion. The thing is the eschatological restoration and recreated reality, the fully glorified creation that will at last be realized being all that God ever intended it to be. The point is the day of resurrection. The point is God's eternal kingdom. Yes, that begins even now, and thus the highway. But we must not forget that this present reality is only the highway. The journey is fleeting and preliminary. It's not the important thing. Don't lose track of the telos. Don't be so caught up in the journey talk that you forget the destination at the end. whether it is currently passing through regions delightful or dreadful, it's only the highway. It's just the journey. Yet, it is God's highway, and you do journey with Him, which brings its own joys, foretastes of what is to come, but foretastes. Zion lies ahead. Luther is right. Whether you are on God's highway or not, this life is finally always a valley of sorrow. But secure on God's highway, you know where it ends. And considering that even the journey is so often rich in beauty, love, and wonder, how unspeakably, incomprehensibly extraordinary must the end at Zion be. Amen. We stand for this hymn.